Thank you, Gary, for another update and refresher on missionaries. I heard I never heard of the Danas before, so that's a new one for me. And I hadn't heard from Carol Hill in a long time, so he's still involved in the mission. Wow. Well, always good to be reminded and refreshed and informed and learn a few new things, especially when it comes to the mission work. Where are we going this morning? So, this morning, we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to have you turn to Luke chapter 1, please. Luke chapter 1. And just before we get started, we're going to pray here in a moment. I'm just going to ask church, be in prayer for Sadie B. Whidden. This is Tyler and Sam Whidden's little girl. I know she's in the bulletin. And this morning we got a phone call that Sadie had, or mom and dad had woken up to Sadie having seizures. So she's in the hospital now, but she went by ambulance this morning. And that was the last kind of update that we got. It's just that she was having seizures. She has had them in the past. It's been a while. And there has been nothing that I know of that has triggered it, but they woke up to her seizing this morning, and she has done this. She's kind of usually comes out of it. She wasn't, so they called the ambulance. So anyway, keep Sadie B and Tyler and Sam, if you would, in your prayers, and appreciate that. Luke chapter 1. This morning we're going to start something just a little different. And we'll likely do something a little different again next Sunday, just being that it's the Christmas season. And, you know, we don't always, you know, speak based on the calendar. If the calendar says it's Christmas or Easter or Thanksgiving, we don't always have something specifically tailored for those holidays, but it is fun to do that. And because it's so much in what we're doing and what we're thinking about, it's hard not to refer to different passages of Scripture and remember why we remember, and specifically Christmas. We're not given any specific instructions in the Bible, are we, to celebrate or to remember the birth of Christ? Nothing specific. Like, there's no mention of... No, we are given specific instructions to break bread together, to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again. We're given specific instructions to be baptized, to identify with Christ and his death and his burial and his resurrection. When it comes to Christmas and Easter, we're not given any specific mandate, but we remember all year long. And usually this time of the year, when we hear about Christmas and remembering Christ, we will remind ourselves, well, you know, we're always remembering Christ. We're always talking about the birth and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the whole year. And I think that's right to do that. And it's also right to highlight it from time to time. And so why not highlight the Christmas story at Christmas time? Just makes sense, right? And whether or not we refer to the account as the Christmas story, most people do, it's more than just that. It goes beyond Christmas. It goes further back and further ahead than Christmas ever did or ever could or ever will. It is one of the greatest things, the greatest events to ever happen in human history, in the history of the creation of God. One of the greatest events to ever happen is God became flesh and dwelt among us. It is miraculous. It is incredible. It is marvelous. It is something that as humans, we can never truly comprehend because our finite brains and minds are nowhere near the extent they would need to be to understand why God has done what he's done. It's incredible. We can't understand the Trinity. Not really. We can believe in it, and we do. But the Christmas account, the wonderful message that this story brings to us, that God loved us that much, that he left heaven and he came to earth to save us from our sins, is an incredible story. I mean, think about the implications in regards to the author that is our Father. And the story and the stories within the story that he is writing and that we get to be a part of. It truly is amazing. And so the Christmas story is a part of that. So we're going to go ahead and highlight some of these things over the next couple of Sundays, today and next Sunday as well, as the Lord leads. We've got a concert tonight, praying about that, looking forward to it. It's going to be fun, and it's going to provide us with an opportunity to showcase the Lord Jesus Christ and to make him look good and to do it in a fun way that gets the kids involved. And so, so thankful, by the way, for all the effort and work that's been going into that. It's been so fun to watch. And so be in prayer for that. For the cantata, we've got a couple of events coming up. We have to be careful. Somebody might sign us up on tour. And we're that good, but we're just too busy. So we gotta stay away from that. Looking forward to the different ways in which we get to minister. So in regards to the Luke chapter 1 version of the Christmas story, this is what I like to talk about as the first of four parts. And I've been sharing these over the last couple of weeks with the nursing homes. It's been a lot of fun. And so I want to share some of these things today. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the church. Thank you, God, that I get to be here, that I get to share your word, that we get to serve one another. We get to worship with one another. And Lord, we get to exalt Christ. We just love you, Lord. We love that we know you. And it is our glory. It is amazing. The best thing about us is you. And so bless our time together today. Just thrill our hearts for being together. Thrill our hearts for being in your presence, for hearing your word, for singing your praises. And then, Lord, we pray for tonight. Take away any nervousness. Just remind us to enjoy what we do. Heartily unto you, Lord, we do it for you. And use it, God, we would ask in a mighty way. Because ultimately, our goal is to see souls saved. And Lord, we desire to share Christ that others would know Christ. So bless our efforts today, Father, and we thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. So four parts, in a sense, to the Christmas story. This is one aspect or one version of it. I don't know how far we're going to get, but I hope to get to another passage in a minute. Let me start with this. Verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And when it says that in the sixth month, it's referencing, really, the timeline here is talking about the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Because God's messenger, the angel Gabriel, has just delivered the message to Elizabeth and Zacharias that they're going to have a child. And that message was delivered. And they were excited about this. Zacharias had a little hard time believing it, but it came to pass, and this child, of course, we know as who? This was John the Baptist, right, cousin to the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the fact that the Bible tells us that when Elizabeth and Mary finally get together at the end of the chapter, you find out, you know, Mary goes to spend some time with Elizabeth there, and the babe leaps in her womb at the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit invokes and just causes joy there. And I love that. We see life there. We see that even in those infancy stages, as the babies are being developed and fearfully and wonderfully made, there is joy, there is expression. A Savior has come into the world. And so we see that Elizabeth is a part of this story, but we want to focus just for now on Mary. And it says that the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. So first thing I like, just want to mention this, is that somewhere in the realms of glory, beyond the veil that we cannot truly understand but believe in, Gabriel was called before the throne of God and given some instructions. I want you to go to Nazareth. You're going to head down to the city of Galilee to a place called Nazareth. And chronologically, by the way, this is the first time Nazareth is mentioned here. It's not mentioned at all in the Old Testament. But Gabriel, he gets the message. You're going to go to Nazareth and you're going to look for a gal by the name of Mary who's married to a fellow or espoused, betrothed to a fellow named Joseph. And you're going to give him this incredible, wonderful message. I don't know how heaven was sort of processing the things that were unfolding, but we get a glimpse of it when they come down over the fields of Bethlehem, that heavenly host that says, Glory to God in the highest. And what did they deliver? They delivered good news. So Gabriel is delivering good news to Mary. And he is sent from heaven to earth. He's already gone and delivered the message. That's good news. Like when you deliver the message or the news that a child is going to be born, that's a good job. Right? Gabriel's got a good job here, at least in these two instances. So he goes And he delivers the message, it says in verse 27, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. I mentioned that she was betrothed or espoused. The Jewish couple would go through three stages. The first was the engagement, where the, you know, the commitment would marry me, you know, the ring on the finger, to the betrothal, which was sort of where the vows were agreed upon. And they were as good as married, by the way, in the betrothal process, but they came together at the marriage and consummated and all of those sorts of things. So these two are in the betrothal period. They are as good as married, but not quite. Usually within a year, the man would prepare a place and go to get his bride, and away that he would whisk her, and the rest is history. And so we see that she is a virgin. She is a spouse. She is married. This is an exciting time for Mary. I want to be careful not to get preachy because I love this so much. But this was an exciting time for her. And it would have been an exciting time for Joseph. Young couple, they're in love. And you know, life is hard. They got to go pay their taxes here in a little while, but they're in love. And there's all of these wonderful things that they're planning and preparing as they build a life together. And what we sometimes miss is God is involved in that. He has not, you know, sort of disregarded the plans that they were making and said, "No, you're going to do what I want. I don't care about what you want." No, he just weaves it all in together. We're going to see here in a minute how much God cares about their relationship with one another. It's amazing, really. So just quickly, as we continue to read here, it says, and the virgin's name was Mary. Where does that name come from, by the way? The name Mary. Yeah, that's right. Miriam. And who was Miriam? Miriam was Moses' sister, right? This is the Hebrew name for Miriam. In the New Testament. That came up on Wednesday night in Gary's teaching. And sometimes the words, what was it, Noah? I guess it was N-O-E on Wednesday night. Sometimes in the New Testament, you'll see a name like Noah. As a matter of fact, there's Elias is mentioned here, I guess in verse 17. Well, who was Elias? In the Old Testament, we know him as Elijah, right? So there's the Hebrew name and the Greek name. Anyway, so this is Mary, and the angel has the message. He knows where to go. He's got the address. He's got the name. He knows what to look for. This is a young woman that's been espoused to a guy named Joseph, and away he goes. It says, and the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored." What does that mean? Highly favored. Yeah, you're chosen, special. No, I guess I'm not sure myself what the Webster's kind of definition would be, but it's you have been set aside for special reasons. You've been chosen. You are highly favored. You are loved. You are valued. And what we need to remember is Mary was highly favored. God chose her. The angel said as much. Hey, God thinks a lot of you. It's just sort of one way to understand that. Are we highly favored? Is this just something that Mary would get to enjoy? Or as children of God, are we also highly favored as Christians? I mean, I know we know that we are. Let me just read a verse for us quickly here, because I love that. Sometimes some folks might say that Mary was different than the rest of us. She was, you know, some kind of super set aside saint that never did any wrong, and that's why she was chosen. None of the rest of the world could ever be. No, that's not what this is saying. She was highly favored, and she was being set aside for the special privilege, but also we are highly favored. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Ephesians 1:6. That sounds like we're also highly favored to be that set aside, to be that special in regards to God's attitude about us. So she was highly favored. Then it says also in verse 28, the Lord is with thee. What would this, you know, these are very specific words that Gabriel is using. Right? He's not just filling up the air with, you know, ad words that we sometimes do. We say, or like. You know, these are very specific words. Why would he say, the Lord is with thee?
Very close to her.
Yeah, yeah. Quite literally. The Lord is with thee. The Lord has been with you. He has been watching you. And he is going to be with you. She's going to need to know that. because she's about to be put in a very precarious situation. And the angel is about to tell her what that's going to be here in a second. It says also, blessed art thou among women. Another incredible thing to say. You know, you've been very blessed, Mary. Sometimes we hear about different groups or people or types of personalities that might suggest that women are less than. You know, they're not as valuable as men, and different cultures sort of reflect that. I would argue God thinks quite differently than that. And we see that quite clearly here. And as God allows, and I've been using this word, Guy, you would have heard me say this a few times, Mary is in essence the bassinet of the Christ, the Messiah. She will be the one to carry and bring this child, the Son of God, God's Son, into the world. What a privilege. What a privilege. And we see that privilege bestowed upon Mary, but also bestowed upon the female race that God has created. And that's also a high honor. Any thoughts or comments on any of these things? Mary is just listening at this point, right? So that's what we get from the text. Angel shows up somehow in some way. Boom, it's Gabriel standing in her house. Hey, Mary, I'm Gabriel. Got some news for you. And what's her response? Verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled. That's a very typical response. She's a little bit fearful, right? The shepherds out in the field, we'll get to that eventually, the Lord willing, tonight. They were kind of fearful. This is a divine interaction with the servants of the Most High God, and they're angels. And so this is not something we're accustomed to. Anything different is usually a little bit troubling, a little bit fearful. And so she's kind of troubled at his saying and casts in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. So she's not only troubled by what's happening, by what he's saying. What does all this mean? What could this mean for me? Verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. I love that he uses her name there. So, I don't know, there's something about having someone that just met you use your name often as they're speaking with you. It's respectful, or there's just something about it. And even the angel does it. Fear not, Mary. It's like they're old friends. But, you know, he knows who she is, likely. I'm just speculating here. But either way, this is someone that he's being respectful to. Fear not, Mary. It's okay. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. It's all going to be okay. I'll explain some things to you. But I love the fact that the angel, this messenger, recognizes that, you know, humans sometimes get a little stirred up when I show up. So I got to always remind them. It was just an interesting perspective, right? That angels are always like, don't be afraid. I don't know if they have conversations amongst, you know, they're always afraid of us, eh? It's like kind of offensive. I don't know. The angel says, fear not. Don't be afraid. This is actually going to be good news. You're going to be excited about what I'm about to sell you, to say to you. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now, there's a statement that ought to thrill our heart. Really? Wow, well, that's good news. If he had to stop right there to think about this, then we know he does it, but imagine if that's all that he had to say. For thou hast found favor with God. Toodles. I mean, wow, that's great news. But there's more to it than even that. Not only has she found favor with God, but because of this, and because of God's goodness and grace and the plans that he has for humanity, he goes on, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And this is where things start to get a little challenging for her. You have found favor with God, and you're going to conceive a child in your womb, and you're going to bring forth that child. He'll be a son, and his name is going to be Jesus. That's a lot of information for a strange angel to dictate to somebody. Number one, we've gone from being favored by God to talking about procreation here. I'm going to be with child? Whoa, where did that come from? And you're telling me that I'm going to conceive and that this child is going to be a son, and you're even telling me the name. You've given me a name? You know, usually that's the parent's job, right? To name the child. It happened to Elizabeth as well, because Gabriel said, you're going to name this child John. And Zacharias confirmed that. Nope, it's John. And here we see the angel saying, this child is going to be named Jesus. It was a cultural, now there's some, depending on who you read, you know, what part of Israel you were from, cultures are different. But Some suggest that it was the father's responsibility to name the firstborn, especially a son. And in this case, the father is doing exactly that. Through Gabriel, the father is naming his only begotten son, Jesus. And what does the name Jesus mean, by the way? I know it's...
Salvation.
You got it. Salvation of Jehovah. Salvation is of the Lord. The name of Christ here is literally salvation. It comes from the root word that means to deliver or to rescue. This is the rescuer, the Messiah. Salvation is of the Lord. And I love the fact, this name is on purpose, by the way, so that, in Jewish culture, they would often name their children things that represented the type of person that they were or the lives that they lived. And in this case, this was true, Jesus, the Savior. And so she's getting all of this information. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Wow. You know, we love to hear things, and this isn't Mary finding out that she is about to have a baby, and somebody is prophesying to her what her child is going to be like. This is Mary finding out that God is going to use her as a bassinet to bring into the world her Savior as well as ours. And this is how she knows he is going to be great. He's going to be the ruler of all. And as the angel reiterated, the Son of the Highest, the Lord God, the throne of David will be his. He shall reign. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Which to me is probably one of the most powerful statements there. It speaks of who he is. This is God, the King of Kings. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Speaking, of course, of the millennium and into the new heaven and the new earth. So Mary is hearing all these things, a little bit in shock, probably a little bit confused or perplexed and taken back by all of this news. But this really happened. This was the announcement to Mary that she is about to bring Christ, the Son of God, into the world. Verse 34, and then we'll open it up here. It says, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" So this is a pretty fair question. I don't understand. By the way, Zacharias got himself into a little bit of hot water with Gabriel because he kind of expressed doubt that it was possible. The wording there suggests that. It's a little different than what Mary here says. She's not expressing doubt. She's just expressing interest into how. I've not known a man. How is this going to even be possible? So this is what the angel says in verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So obviously we can't fully understand this, but I think we do understand and recognize that this child was going to be miraculously placed within the womb of Mary. This was the Son of God. He would be of the line of David through blood on Mary's side, literally, and he would be of the line of David through Joseph, through heritage, through adoption on Joseph's side. But what significant, important little tidbit do we love about this truth, that human man, had no involvement with the birth of the Son of God? Why is that so important?
Sinless.
He was sinless. Because the sin nature has been passed from man to man, and all have sinned. But in this situation, in this arrangement, God has circumvented the problem by not allowing man to be involved. Good idea. And he has allowed Mary the privilege, the one who was deceived, not the one who willingly disobeyed, to be the bassinet, I'll keep using that word, the vessel that would bring Christ, the Son of God, into the world. And he would give both Mary and Joseph the privilege of being the earthly foster parents or adoptive parents of God's only begotten Son. Wow. I mean, it's just remarkable. This really happened. That's what I meant in the beginning by the story of stories within stories. Like, there's so many things that we're going to just marvel over forever and ever. Like, who could write, who could concoct something so incredible, so wonderful, so heart-wrenching, and so, you know, hope-filled as the story that God literally is writing from the mess that we made with the good creation that he created. And so we see all of these things. We see that God is involved with this. Jesus Christ would be born sinless. There would be no sin nature within the Lord Jesus Christ. He would be born perfect, and we're thankful for that. Verse 36, and behold, the cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So I love the fact that before the angel leaves, he says, oh, by the way, I got some news for you. Your cousin Elizabeth, right? They didn't have telephones or texting back then. So Gabriel is giving her the news. I just love that. He didn't have to do this, but it was part of God's plan, obviously. But he says, your cousin Elizabeth's also going to have a baby. You know, woo! Yay, this is a fun thing for women to do together. And Mary goes to her right away. They're so excited, and they just marvel at God. And Mary's beautiful little discourse here at the end of this chapter is just wonderful. And it's because of all of these things that she's pondering and thinking about. But Gabriel departs, okay? That's the point. And he leaves. So that's the end of that. He's finished at least his task in regards to Mary. Any thoughts or comments before we take a look at the other fella?
knowing that when the two ladies get together, the babies leap, It kind of goes against the abortion people that say there's no life until...
Yeah, until after birth. Absolutely it does, without question. There was life in the womb. I'm just pulling this out of thin air here, but I believe it might be in Deuteronomy that it references when the fruit of the womb departs from a woman because two men are striving. The idea is if there's people fighting and carrying on and being reckless, and the child or the mother delivers early, and there's no harm to the child, it says that then they still have to pay recompense, something for the troubles. But just, you know, I'm going to give you this money for your trouble. Sorry that happened. If the fruit depart from her and die, it says in that verse, a life for a life. Making it very clear, God's attitude is that was a life. And when that fruit departs from her womb and that life ceases to exist because of your foolishness, you forfeit your life. And we know that scriptures teach that if a man sheds blood, by one man shall his blood be shed. We know it as capital punishment. Well, anyway, just in regards to what you said, Larry, absolutely, that was a life in the womb of this woman. Of course it was. But anything else that we might see here?
I think it was a lot for Mary to understand and to accept as a young girl.
Yes.
But she had a lot of faith.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, ladies would be looked down upon.
That's
and
right.
Shunned and possibly stoned for.
Yep.
And yet she took this on and believed God.
Yeah. Yeah, well said. And that's, let's turn to Matthew chapter 1. That's the predicament I mentioned that Gabriel and literally God himself has put Mary in and Joseph. And that's also the reason why I said God wants these two to have a wonderful life together. They're not married yet. And Darlene just said, according to the culture of their time, once others found out that Mary was with child, they would assume the obvious, right? The worst, that you've involved yourself in fornication. Now you're pregnant. You haven't not yet been properly consummated or married. And that often ended up in losing a life or being excommunicated, which was in a lot of ways just as bad. Who caused this to happen to her? It was God. God literally put her in this predicament, which is why I believe Gabriel said, fear not. God is going to be with you. You're going to need him. Ultimately, God knows how this looks. God doesn't care. You know, could God have waited until they were married and just allowed this to all happen? Well, that's right. But even if they had been married and not consummated their marriage somehow, just hypothetically, God could have done that. But you're right, that would have involved Joseph. And in that case, it wouldn't have been God's perfect will. But the point is, I guess what I'm making, is that God knew this was going to bring some distress. And let's read here in verse 19, because here's what it says, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This is how it happened, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. That is on purpose. They were engaged, but they were not yet husband and wife official. And we are told that before they came together. So that literally, by the moving of the Spirit as these words were penned, we need to understand that. This is God's doing, and God wants us to realize before they came together, God allowed this to happen. And as Nicole said, I think it's a good point. This eliminates Joseph as a factor. It was going to be hard for other people to know that or understand that, but didn't matter. God is still doing what he knows is best. And it says here that before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. So what does that mean?
He didn't know yet.
Yeah, that's right. He did not know. He's about to find out, but that's a good point. He's just fine. You're pregnant? Yeah. What do you mean you're pregnant? And she likely, well, this is what happened. And all here was, you're pregnant. The rest of it probably didn't really filter in the way that it needed to right away, because all he heard was, you're pregnant? Wait a second. That would have rocked his whole world in several ways. What do you mean? I know how this works. So that would have been concerning for him. The trustability of Mary is not called into question, but we know as human natures, wait a second, there's some questions I have. And then when she told him, that likely wouldn't have helped. Okay, well, how am I going to explain this to other people, Mary? I mean, come on, this is a little bit far-fetched, and so on and so forth. But either way, God understands all this. He's a just man, by the way, it says. And because of the fact that he was honorable and he loved Mary, he cared about her, he didn't want her to be in harm's way. He didn't want anything bad to happen to her. That's why it says he was willing to put her away privately, without fanfare, without making a big scene, and you know what she did, and all those sorts of things. He was a just man. And the Lord knew the situation that he put him in. And so I love that in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. This is one of four times, by the way. You know, we sometimes focus on Mary's arrangement and the conversation with the angel Gabriel and how much that, you know, that was so special for her. But here, Joseph is getting dream after dream after dream, and God's giving him instructions. You know, don't go here, don't go there. You better, you know, go a different direction. And even here, God knows that Joseph is torn. My beloved, my bride, oh, we were going to be together. She's so pretty, and I want to. And now what do I do? And people are going to be upset. And, you know, when they find out, I know what they're going to say. Don't you be with her. You get rid of her. She's no good. It's a lie. Don't believe it. Those are all very real human reactions that they would have had to put up with. And the whole idea of, well, actually, an angel came to me. Oh, right, an angel came to you. Sure. God put them in this situation. And again, that's why he said, don't be afraid. Fear not. So it says, the angel of the Lord now appears unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And he just puts Joseph's mind at ease. This is not immoral. This is not a bad idea. It's not a mistake. You take Mary, you marry this girl, you marry the love of your life, you take her, and don't be concerned about the fact that she is with child, because, as he says, this child which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. There ain't another man that had anything to do with it. In other words, okay? So this is different than every other scenario, Joseph. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou... So now he makes it personal, Joseph. You're involved in this too. You, Dad, as well as Mary, of course, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." By the way, Mary, in verse 47 of Luke, we were there, she references this. She says, "My Lord, my Savior," in reference to Jesus Christ, the baby within her womb, acknowledging that this was her Savior as well as the rest of ours. And so the angel says this is going to be Jesus, the Savior, and he's going to save the people from their sins. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." This is literally what happened, and this is Joseph finding out that he's about to be the earthly father of the only begotten Son of God, who's going to come to earth and be born of his wife, Mary. Big news for a young couple, as Nancy said, for them to process all of this. This is what was happening. Now, here's where we close. Verse 24 and 25. "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife." I bet you when he woke up, and the Lord knows how to get our attention, he realized this was not just what he ate last night. This was God. This was a message from the angel of the Lord. And I bet you he couldn't wait to go to Mary and say, "Mary, you never guess what's going to happen. You know, this is what the Lord told me, and we're going to be together, and it's going to be okay. I don't understand all this, but wow, God is amazing." And he took her. God said, "You take her. I don't care what people say. I don't care what the mother-in-law, your dad, or your sister, or your neighbors. I don't care what they're not going to believe it. You take her to be your wife." I love that about this arrangement. Because all of society and culture would have, I don't think so, Joseph. And had he had listened to others and not the Lord, this would be a different story. But God is good. He is sovereign, obviously. And he says, "You go get her. You go and take her to be your wife." Verse 25, "And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Anyway, so this is the two-part version of the story of Christ. This is the introduction to it through Elizabeth, plays a little part, Zacharias, but Mary and Joseph receive the news that they're about to be the earthly foster parents of the Son of God, who is being sent to this world to save us from our sins. Any thoughts or comments this morning on any of that stuff?
The angel said, "Fear not." He meant fear not because, like, one angel killed, like, how many sins?
Yeah.
One angel killed the whole army.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. The idea that, you know, angels are silly, fluffy little beings that we can patronize. And yeah, exactly. No.
It's interesting, too, that Mary doesn't say no. She
yes.
doesn't question it at all. The angel tells her, okay.
Amen. Yeah, she doesn't seem to fight it or doubt it or anything. And I think that has to do with the youth. You know, there's something about youth. They're softer. They're more open to these. That's why, and Christ even said, you know, unless you're like a little child, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. You have to have faith like a child. There's something about the innocent hearts of children before they're corrupted by the ways of this world. But you know, there's no doubt there. There's just awe and amazement and submission to it. So even with Joseph, okay. And he took her as his wife, just like the Lord said to him. And away they went. But I love that, you know, that God didn't just destroy their relationship for his own cause. He factored that into it. You know, he's like, yeah, of course you're going to be together. You take her. So it's just an amazing story in so many different ways. Any thoughts or comments as we close this morning?
Another thought is, how many people have doubts about getting married and all that?
Yes. Yeah. No reason for cold feet that day. Very true. So it would be very romantic to tell the other kids someday down the road, you know, the half brothers of Christ, you know. "So how did you and Mom meet?" "Well, you know, son, I knew I was going to marry your mother the day the angel told me to.
Any hesitation was put.
Yeah. All right, anything else this morning as we wrap it up? That's a great story. I love it, and it's so fun this time of the year just to remember those things and to the human aspect of it is what I love to focus on, because that's where we can relate and we can catch a glimpse a little bit more of how it unfolded, because we can sense those feelings. We can experience to some degree what it could have been like or must have been like. We've all had similar, you know, types of arrangements, fear and joy and concern and all those sorts of things. So I love how the Lord just walks them through it, and he's close to them right through the whole process. Anyway, Gary, would you close this, brother, in a word of prayer as we wrap it up, please?
Hi, Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for this reminder of the Christmas story, Lord, about how you were born of a virgin, how you came to set us free, Lord, and that we have faith in you, that we will be with you someday in heaven. Again, we just thank you for Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, church.